All right, let's turn to 1 John chapter 5. And John declared to us the certainty of God's love, making his child love our brethren. He said it's the love of God. It's God's own love for his people. That's the love that God puts in his people. He produces his own love in his people. It's the love of God he puts in his people. And when he does that, he makes his commandments to not be grievous to us. He makes us to keep his commandments, to believe on the Lord Jesus and to love one another. Let's read the first few verses. We'll get down to our text. He says in verse 1, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God." This is God's love and what it accomplishes, that we keep his commandments. And it makes it so his commandments are not grievous. And here's our text. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" And the only ones who overcome the world, the only ones out of all this sea of humanity, the only ones who overcome the world are those who are born of God, given faith as a gift from God, so that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him alone to save us. These are the only ones that overcome this world. Born of God, given faith by God, and we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We believe the record God's given of his Son. And we trust him alone. We rely upon him alone. I've subtitled this, "The Overcomers." That's what every true believer is. We're overcomers. We overcome the world. And what does the Spirit of God mean here when he says the world? What does he mean here? The world means different things in different places. But right here, the world means all depraved sinners except those that God makes overcome. It means all depraved sinners except those God makes overcome. The Lord Jesus spoke of the world hating him. And he spoke of the world hating his people. Only depraved men and women hate Christ and hate his people. He's talking about depraved sinners. He said, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own." Men and women hate and they love. He said, "If you were of the world would love you." He said, "But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." The world are depraved sinners. That's who he's talking about. God, listen to this description that God gives of the world. He calls the world the wicked. He calls the world the proud. He calls the world the terrible. Listen to this in Isaiah 13:11. "I will punish the world for their evil." See, he's talking about people. When he says the world, he's talking about people. "I'll punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease. And I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible." He calls the world, in that one verse, he calls them the wicked, he calls them the proud, and he calls them the terrible. Now this is the world that the Spirit of God is using John to say that his people overcome. This is the world that we're made to overcome. The world of wicked, depraved sinners. Now let's look at the condition that we are made to overcome. This is the condition we have overcome, he says. Revelation 12:9 says, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. That's what we overcome. We were deceived. We were with the world and part of the world, and we're deceived with the whole world. The whole world's deceived by the devil. Everybody that you know, everybody that I know, that does not believe on Christ in spirit and in truth is deceived by the devil. That's why the world is in the shape it's in. It's why the world's doing what it's doing now. It's deception. Everything it does, the world does, is sin. Everything's against God. And everything is by the deception of the devil. The world knows not God. That's what the Lord Jesus said. He prayed, said, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee. He's talking about men and women. The world hath not known thee. This is because of this deception. The sin we fell into and the deception of the devil. And the Lord said, the world by its wisdom cannot know God. This was after the wisdom of God. He said, Paul said, 1 Corinthians 1:21, after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. The world is ignorant of God, and the world is spiritually ignorant so that it cannot by its own wisdom know the true and living God. This is a description of the world. And so the religion of the world, go to Colossians 2. Here's a description of the religion of the world. Because this is the case, this is the religion of the whole world right here. Outside of organized religion, it's just philosophy. And inside organized religion, it's called in Scripture vain deceit. And what it is it's vain deceit because it's exalting man. It's deceptive. It's exalting man in his vanity. Listen to this. Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. I'm sorry, Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. That right there just summed up the whole world's religion. You have the Greeks, which they think all religion's foolishness. Their religion is philosophy. And then you have organized religion. No matter what it goes by, most of Christianity is vain deceit. Now watch this. It's after the tradition of men. This is man's tradition. It's after the rudiments of the world. Beware, he says, because in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in him. Now look down at verse 20. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, saved from the elements of the world, why, as though, you've heard me talk about the as though, there it is. Why, as though living in the world, why as though you act like your life's in this world, or that you have life by something you do in this world? He says, why then are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Let's read it again without the parentheses. If you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why as though living in the world are you subject to ordinances after the commandments and doctrines of men? Why would you let a man bring you under his commandments and his doctrines, which things have indeed a show of wisdom? It's a vain show. In what? In will worship. It's the worship of man's will. That's why it's vain deceit. And false humility and a neglecting of the body. You know, not eating certain things and not dressing certain ways and all the touch not, taste not, handle not. It's a show of wisdom. But he says there's no honor in that to the satisfying of the flesh. There's no honor in that that's really going to mortify the flesh. It's not going to happen. That actually is what the flesh wants. That's inflaming the flesh. So that's all the world's religion, philosophy, and vain deceit. We'll worship. And then the world's depraved heart. Go to 1 John 2. Here's the depraved heart of the world. It's described in 1 John 2. And let's look at verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now watch this. All that is in the world. This is the sum total right here of what's in the world. If you go after the world, here it is. The lust of the flesh, that's living for the senses. What sounds good, what looks good, what smells good, what tastes good, what feels good. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the eyes, to be seen of men. How much do we do to be seen of men? That's all the worldly man does. Everything he's doing is to be seen of men and regarded by men. Look, and the pride of life, that's self-exaltation, trying to exalt self. And all of this, he says, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This is the worldliness of the depraved heart. It's the lust of the heart. This is what's wrong with the whole world. It's not of the Father, it's of the world. Apostle Paul said, many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now I tell you even weeping, they're the enemies of the cross of Christ. This is a description right here of a worldly man. Listen, this is a depraved sinner, whether he's religious or not. Listen to this. Whose end is destruction. Whose God is their belly. Lust of the flesh, living for the senses, living for the flesh. Whose glory is in their shame. Who mind earthly things. They have the mind set on what they can see and feel and touch. It's all earthly because they got no spirit. It's not spiritual. It's earthly. And they mind earthly things. Timothy said, these last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of their own selves. That's what John's talking about. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And here's what's sad, having a form of godliness. There's more people religious in the world today than ever has been. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Christ is the power of God. They deny Christ, the power of God. From such, he said, turn away. Turn away. Now, we're in a constant warfare. God's child is in a constant warfare with the world. You know, now it's becoming popular. You know what the new thing? They're talking a lot about us and them. Well, God's been talking about us and them for a long time. And this is what we talk about, us and them. But it's a different us and them. We talk about us, we talk about God's people, God, those born of God. But here's what we're up against. The world would try to seduce you into practicing their traditions and practicing their customs and living by their principles. And if they can't get you to do that, they want to try to talk you into compromise. Compromise with us. You know, you need to compromise in politics, but you can't compromise in the gospel. If you compromise the gospel, you don't have a gospel anymore. Can't do that. The world would make us look out of fashion. They try to make you look like the Word of God's out of date. Make you look like you're bigoted. Make you look like you're a hater because you stand for what the Word of God teaches. The world would make you think they agree with you. And they're so subtle in this. Sometimes the Lord said there was coming a time, and I think we see some of that now, where he said if it was possible, they would deceive the very elect. That's subtle. That's subtle. So those who overcome, here's what we overcome. In all this, we see what we overcome. We've overcome the devil. We've overcome our own spiritual ignorance. We didn't know God. And by our wisdom, we couldn't know God. We've overcome the world's will works religion and its philosophy. We've overcome the lusts of the world and our own sinful, depraved lusts of our heart. This is what we've overcome. But the only way any sinner overcomes the world, the only way is to be born of God. We have to be born again. We have to be born of God. We have to have a spiritual birth, a new birth that is of God. Now, when the Scripture tells us, look back at our text, 1 John 5, verse 4, it says, "Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." Now, this is true. Whoever you are, whoever is born of God overcometh the world. But now, when it says born of God, that means only born of God. We didn't contribute. We didn't do anything to help out. We're born of God. That means we're born of God. Just like Scripture says, salvation is of the Lord. That means salvation's of the Lord. You don't contribute. And when it says born of God, we're born of God. We didn't do anything to contribute. Go over to Titus 3. I was going to read Ephesians, but since I already read it, go to Titus 3. And this is familiar, but I won't. Our young people to see this. Titus 3. You see, there wasn't any difference in us and the world by nature. We all came into this world sinners. There's no difference in us. So look what he says here in Titus 3, verse 1. "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers," that is, with the tongue, But not with the fist either, but with the tongue. "Be gentle, show all meekness unto all men." Why? "Because we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving different lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." There's the heart. There's the depravity of the heart. That's the description of the world right there. "But after that, the kindness and love of God." We've been talking about the love of God and what it makes you do, what He produces in you. "The kindness and love of God toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." He did it. He did it. And He shed it on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, because He had justified us by His blood. And so we should be made heirs. We should be born of God and be children of God and be made heirs of God according to the hope of eternal life. It was a must that we should, because He justified us. But you see, all this was of God. It was not of us. We didn't contribute. You can learn a lot by looking at your first birth. We didn't contribute in it. It was a miracle. Birth is, conception's a miracle. Well, this is a greater miracle. All those things Brother Adam just read, the deaf received their hearing and the blind their sight and the lame leap and all these different things, that all was a really incredible miracle physically. But the greater miracle was that He did this spiritually for us. Us lame, blind, deaf, just dead sinners, He gave life and made us to see and made us to hear and made us to walk and to rejoice in Christ. We never could do that. And we didn't contribute to this whatsoever. We didn't do anything. We were, as Ephesians 2 said, we were walking according to the course of what? This world. We were walking according to the course of this world. I feel for all men, all sinners in this condition, especially our young people, when you're walking according to the course of the world and you think that you're going to be ridiculed and embarrassed and rejected and all these different things, and your love for being seen of men and your love for living for the senses and your pride for being exalted is so great in that dead, sinful state that you won't let it go. No man will. We have to be born of God and taught. And look back at 1 John 2 and look at verse 15. In the second part there, he says, "If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." But we saw opposite of that, if the love of the Father is in us, that'll make us not love the world. That's what's going to make a man part with the world, when the love of the Father is in you. When He's put that love in our heart, when we've been born of Him, and He puts that love in our heart, Scripture says, when we're born of God, we're given a new spirit, and the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. We're going to have to be brought to have some affection for God by Him putting His love in our heart, His love for Christ, so that we see Christ and behold Him in a different light than we do by nature. By nature, we hate Him. And it's in that new spirit that He teaches us the truth. He said in 1 Corinthians 2:12, we've not received the spirit of the world. We had that. We didn't need the spirit of the world. We had the spirit of the world. But we've received the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. This is what happens in that new birth. It gives you a new spirit so that now you can hear the things that are freely given of God. And the Scripture says, as the good news is preached, the Lord Jesus, who's our prophet, He's the real preacher. He plants this word in the heart. He gives you the word in the heart. And that's the incorruptible seed that makes you be born again. Go to John 17. I want you to see this. And I remind you of this too. When John was hearing our Savior pray this high priestly prayer, he heard it. And a lot of what John said, he got from this right here. When he talked about us being one with God and the love of God being put in our heart. Now look what he says right here concerning the truth of the gospel. Verse 9, he tells us who he's praying for. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. That's who he's interceding for. He's not praying for the world. He's praying for those God chose and gave to him. Look at verse 14. I have given them thy word. This is how he did this for his apostles, his disciples. This is how he's going to make everybody believe him. This is that incorruptible seed. I've given them thy word. And the world hath hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. They're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them, that is, separate them, keep them separated from the world through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And what is that word? What is that truth? Look down at verse 19. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Christ is the truth. What does he mean when he says, I sanctify myself? He didn't need to be sanctified. What's he talking about? He means he came forth separate from this world and he fulfilled the will of God that he himself might be the truth, that he might be the truth, the word. And he gives it in our hearts. And this is the incorruptible seed by which we're born of God, born again. It's through him. Look at verse 20. He says, and this includes you and me right here, not just his disciples then. He said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's me and you. He's interceding for us, and he does the same thing for us. He gives us the word, and this is how we're born again. So we can't boast. This new birth we're talking about is of God. It's of God alone, it's by the Spirit of God alone, it's by the Word of God alone, it's by Christ who's our prophet, who himself is the truth. So this is all of God. Now, thirdly, I want you to see this. The victory, he says here, that overcomes the world is our faith. Look there in verse 4. 1 John 5:4. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That word overcometh right there, the Greek word right there is Nike. The same word as the shoe. But the shoe's named after the Greek goddess. Her name was Nike. But it means victory. That's what it means. But this is the Greek word for overcome, for victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, the victory is not faith in our faith. When I was in college, I had a friend, and his mother told me one time, she said, "I've told my son, it doesn't matter what you believe, just believe something, because faith is the victory." No. You can believe you can have faith in a stump. That's not going to save you. And you can have faith in your faith. That's what that is, basically. Just thinking, if I have faith, that's the victory. Well, no. No. Soon as John spoke of faith being the victory, he talked about the object of our faith. And there's where the victory is. Look what he said in the second part, verse 5. "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Now we see, that's what makes faith to be victorious, the object of our faith. Not faith. What does it mean to believe Jesus is the Son of God? What does that mean? It's to believe the record God's given of His Son. Look down at verse 11. "This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life." It's free. He gave it. "And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." I know that some sitting here now, you think, "Well, I have life." You don't have life. You don't even know what life is. You really don't. If you have Christ, you have life. If you don't have Christ, you don't have life. Spiritually dead. And it's just going to get worse. One of these days, those senses are going to start breaking down. And you're not going to be able to enjoy them. And it's just going to keep getting worse until it ends in destruction. But the end of this life is not the end. Then comes the judgment. And then comes what's called the second death. Being cast out of God's presence and from the presence of His glory. That is what the person's got to look forward to that thinks he has life in this world. This life's passing away, and everything in it's going to pass away. There are men who live this life, and what they have in this world is all they ever have. And when this life's over, they leave it behind. They leave it behind. But when you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then you believe God's Word, that God's salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you believe that it's in Christ. The salvation is in Christ. We don't just believe the doctrine of election for the sake of believing the doctrine of election. We believe the doctrine of election because God first chose His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that in Isaiah 42. He said, "Behold, my servant whom I've chosen, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth." And He chose a people in Christ Jesus. That's the glory of election, the Lord Jesus Christ. If God just chose us, that's one thing, but to know He chose us in Christ, there's where the victory is. And then righteousness. Where's righteousness? Where's holiness? Where's our redemption? Where's our wisdom? It's in Christ Jesus the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, even though we were enemies in our minds by wicked works, even though we hated God, even though we were by nature children of wrath, even as others, because God had chosen us and put us in Christ, the Son of God came forth and took flesh, and He walked this earth and laid down His life as the head of His people, so that what He did in Him, we did it. We did it. And in Him we are made the righteousness of God by His obedience, not by ours, by His. And the Spirit of God, when we speak of the Spirit of God and the work the Spirit of God does, is because the witness that the Spirit of God bears is of Christ the Lord. It's of God that He makes Christ unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That's when a man will stop glorying in himself and walking in the pride of life, and he'll be humbled and abased, and he'll start glorying in the Lord alone. When you see He's all the salvation that God has provided for His people, faith is the victory because God-given faith lays hold of Christ. Faith is the victory because God-given faith rests all in the hands of Christ and trusts Him alone to save me. That's why faith is the victory. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one in whom we have the victory. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I'm crucified unto the world. By Christ, by what He did for me at the cross, I'm dead to this world. This world has no regard for me whatsoever. As soon as I could be talking with somebody and we get along fine, you let me start talking about my hope and my Savior, and it's over. I'm dead to this world. But because of this cross right here, and because of what my Savior accomplished on it, this world considers me just a dead man. No, that means you're dead to me. I don't want to have anything to do with you. Well, guess what? By that same cross, this world's dead to me. I'm not living for the world, and I don't care what I accomplish in this world. That doesn't matter to me anymore. What matters to me now is I want to be found in Christ. That's it. That's it. If I have Him, I have everything. That's all I'm worried about. My ambition, my goal, is to be found in Christ and not have a righteousness of my own, but to have His alone. That's my ambition. That's what I'm going after. That's where I want to be found. Now, you sitting here, you've heard me preach this over and over and over, and I'm going to say it again, what I say every time when I come to this point. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on Him, and you will overcome this world. You will overcome. Our Lord Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. He said, but I'm saying this to you that in me you might have peace. Because He said, I've overcome the world. You believe on Christ and you will overcome the world. And here's what I'm praying as I say this. As I preach this message and as I say something like that, what I'm praying is Christ will do what He said. I've given them Thy word. And that's what I'm praying is that as I say it and the words come out of my mouth, Christ will actually give you this word and plant it in your heart, and you'll be born of the incorruptible seed, and you're going to start believing on Him. That's my prayer. Now let's look now at God's promises to them that overcome through faith in our Lord Jesus. Go to Revelation, and let's look and see what are we going to receive when we overcome. We're talking about those who continue in faith to the end, trusting Christ alone. Revelation 2. First of all, he says, let me say this too before I forget it. There's seven things here. Seven is the number of perfection. There's seven things he says here that he's going to give his people that overcome. Revelation 2:7. He says, he that hath an ear, that is, you that been born of God, that's what he's talking about, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. That means I'm going to give you eternal life. Eternal life. Look at Revelation 2, look at verse 11. No condemnation. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Why are we not going to suffer any condemnation? Why are we not going to be cast out and suffer that second death? Christ already died that death for His people. He suffered that death for His people and bore that condemnation for His people, and His people will never have to die that death. You know the second death. You know what I'm talking about? The second death. You die physically for the first death. The second death is when you come into judgment and God casts you out. That's the second death. Not for God's people. Now, for God's people, you trust Christ to the end, no second death. Then we're going to have Christ Himself and His name. Look at verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. That's Christ, the bread from heaven. I'll give you to eat of Him. I'll give you a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receive it. This is Christ's name. He's going to give us Christ himself and give us his name. And then this is what he gives us. He gives us power with Christ to judge this world. You know, the saints are going to judge the world. We're judging the world right now through the gospel we preach. And we're going to judge this world in the end. Look at Revelation 2:26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, that is, believe on Christ and love your brethren to the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I'll give him the morning star. That's Christ. That rod of iron, that's this gospel we preach. This rod that is salvation to you and rejoicing to you is going to be like a rod breaking a potter's vessel into 1,000 pieces to the worldly man. He's going to condemn him. And we're going to be the judge with Christ. Look here, Christ is going to be our righteousness and he will be our advocate in the day of judgment. You don't get any more sure than that. He's your righteousness and your advocate. Look here, Revelation 3, verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. There's Christ's righteousness. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Christ is going to make us his church and his city. We already are. This is what he's done for his people. That word overcometh, that means you have overcome, you are overcoming, and you shall overcome. It's a continual thing. Look here, Revelation 3:12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Remember how John saw that city coming down, adorned like a bride prepared for her husband? That's his people. That's us that overcome through faith in Christ. And then he's going to give us glory with Christ. Look at Revelation 3:21. Listen to this now. To him that overcome, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. That's what he's going to give us. You would think we have to do something for this. Nope. That's what the world don't understand. You have to do nothing. That's what the world can't do. The world can do, they'll do anything you tell them to do, but you tell them to stop doing, oh, we can't do that. And then he's going to give us eternal inheritance. This is the seventh thing. Revelation 21, and look at verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. He's going to give us all things and an eternal inheritance, joint heirs with Christ as sons of God, children of God. So brethren, this gives us reason here to guard your heart. Don't let anything vie for your affection. And if nothing in this world with Christ. The scripture says to be the friend of this world is to be the enemy of God. So Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He's transformed us. This is a crude illustration, but you know what the little children's toys, transformers, are. He's transformed us into children of God. We're not conformed to this world anymore. We've been transformed by the renewing of our mind into children of God. And he said, prove what's that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We've been reading about it in John. It's to believe on Christ. That's the perfect will of God. You trust my son. You rest in my son. And look at this, Colossians 3. I want to end with this. Remember this, We're not at home. We just sang it. Our first song we sang. We're not home. We just passed. This is like when you're driving and you get off an interstate somewhere and you don't know where you're at, and you get off and it looks rough. It looks bad. You don't want to dare get out because you think, well, something's going to happen to me here if I get out. Well, that's what this world is. We're just passing through a bad neighborhood. But we're on our way to a great city, a great place. And look at what he says here, Colossians 3:20. That's not right. Colossians 3:20. Philippians. That's where I'm going to go. Our conduct is in heaven. Our conversation, that word means citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he's able to subdue all things to himself. We're just passing through, brethren. We're not citizens here. We're just passing through. Don't forget that. Amen.